Hello, this is Jean St. Peter with the Ford County Record for the week of August 7th, 2019. We'll begin with the article on the front page, Proposed Cannabis Business in Rankin Could Be a Social Experience. When people visit the Garden of Eden, they will be able to do more than just buy marijuana there. If the business ends up becoming a reality, customers will be able to enjoy cannabis-infused hamburgers, donuts, or coffee, for example, in its restaurant and bakery area, and then perhaps receive a CBD oil massage before smoking a joint or blunt on the patio outside. And when done, they will be able to get a ride home in the Cannabus. It would be more of a social experience than just, let me get my weed and get back home, said David Kane Michael Emling, who is considering locating his proposed cannabis cafe, bakery, and dispensary in the tiny Vermilion County village of Rankin. A public informational meeting about Emling's proposed business is scheduled for 6:30 p.m. Tuesday at the Rankin Lions Club building, during which he plans to give an overview of his plans and obtain community feedback. Emling said his preliminary conversations with Rankin residents have revealed an overwhelming support so far for bringing the business to the town of 617 people. Emling said Rankin is just one possible location for the business, though. He said he is also considering setting up shop in other towns nearby, such as Paxton, Hoopston, or Cisna Park, or even at his own 6-acre horse farm. The farm, located along Illinois 49, about half a mile north of Rankin, is already undergoing changes in preparation for Emling establishing a cannabis-growing facility there. From day one, we've been building, Emling said. Emling, who lives on the farm with his family, said he wants to start up all three aspects of his cannabis venture, cultivation, retail, and transportation, sometime in 2020, once the sale and adult use of recreational marijuana become legal in Illinois. Emling, however, realizes challenges lie ahead, including securing investors and acquiring the necessary state permits. Emling said the Garden of Eden, the proposed name for his cannabis cafe bakery dispensary, would offer a different experience than the traditional cannabis dispensary. We want to take the whole negative cloud of the entire experience off of it, Emling said. At a traditional dispensary, he said, it feels like a drug deal. It feels like you're doing drug dealing with the state of Illinois, going to the DMV to wait in line and then get what they give you and go home. I want to take that stigma away and make it socially acceptable as going to the bar and having a glass of wine. Meanwhile, Emling's proposed cannabis transportation service, which he is thinking about calling Outlaw Transportation, would offer customers trips to and from his dispensary restaurant site. I'm fully aware I'm in the middle of nowhere in Rankin. I'm in the dead center of nothing, so we want to make it so they don't have to risk driving if they get too high there, Emling said. Emling's growing facility, meanwhile, would be called Kane's Cannabis and would be a division of his Origin Acres farming operation, he said. Emling said he intends to grow a variety of cannabis strains for a variety of potential uses, not just among recreational cannabis users, but also perhaps people who may be eligible for medical marijuana but simply cannot afford the required license or the product. While the plants will be grown and harvested on the farm, the processing of the marijuana into products like oils and edibles would be done at the dispensary/restaurant/bakery site, Emling said. All three aspects of Emling's business would operate under the umbrella of Davian Kane Enterprises, Emling said. The name used to be that of a transportation firm Emling started before he was unable to continue to work as a result of injuries he received in a traffic accident. The 30-year-old Emling, a 2007 graduate of Hersher High School, said the accident has left him with chronic pain. Emling said he also has Crohn's disease, which qualified him to obtain a medical marijuana license from the state. In addition to being a legal user of medical marijuana, Emling is also licensed medical marijuana caregiver for his father-in-law, who has cancer. Emling said cannabis has benefited both himself and his father-in-law immensely. "This is something I'm passionate about, because I've seen the positives," Emling said. "Cannabis is helping my father-in-law at least manage the pain as best he can. When cannabis is used correctly, it can be used for many things. Having a cannabis shop in Rankin or somewhere else nearby would not just be convenient to recreational marijuana users in the rural area around Rankin," Emling said, "but also medical marijuana users who currently must travel all the way to Champaign-Urbana to get their pot." And Emling said it would bring in some additional sales tax revenue to a small town that could use it. Municipalities can impose up to a 3% sales tax on recreational cannabis sales. "We want the money to go into the area where we are going to live," Emling said. Gibson City officials to hear presentation about downtown Wi-Fi speaker system. The Gibson City Council's Parks and Buildings Technology Committee will meet at 7 p.m. Thursday, August 15, to hear a presentation by Gibson City-based MCS Technologies about a downtown Wi-Fi and speaker system. The meeting, which is open to the public, will be at City Hall, 101 East 8th Street. The committee, chaired by Susie Tungate, is also comprised of Aaron Franks, Aaron Kafer, and Dennis Fisher. Ford County landowners reminded of tax payment deadline. Ford County property owners are reminded that payment of the first installment of their 2018 real estate taxes is due Friday, August 16. Payments can be made at the treasurer's office at the courthouse in Paxton or at any Ford County bank. Payments can also be left in the drop box in front of the courthouse during non-office hours or instead mailed, if postmarked by August 16, to P.O. Box 92, Paxton, Illinois, 60957. Payment of the second installment is due on October 28. A total of 10,400 bills were mailed to landowners in July, with a total of $29.175 million in taxes to be collected for the year 2018. Coroner releases the name of murdered teen. Iroquois County's coroner has released the name of the 17-year-old girl who was found dead Monday inside the home of a Sheldon resident who was later charged with her murder. Coroner Bill Cheatham identified the deceased as Adara J. Bunn. "Miss Bunn, known as Sissy, was living in Sheldon," Cheatham said. "Miss Bunn was a student at Milford High School," according to the Milford Area Public School District. Grief counselors were to be made available to students from 8 a.m. to noon on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at the high school, or by appointment at other times, the district said in the Facebook post. "We are suffering as a staff, student body, and community for this loss," the Facebook post said. "Please keep the family of our student in your thoughts and prayers during this terrible time." Miss Bunn's body was found inside the home of 49-year-old Arthur C. Jensen at 315 West Main Street in Sheldon after sheriff's deputies responded to a report of a disturbance there at 4:13 p.m. on Monday. Assistant State's Attorney Alex O'Brien said that when deputies arrived, Jensen walked outside and told them that there was a girl inside and that he strangled her. O'Brien said he was not aware of any relationship between Jensen and Miss Bunn. An autopsy performed Tuesday at the Brian R. Mitchell Forensic Center in Kankakee County confirmed the cause of death was strangulation, according to a news release from the sheriff's office. Toxicology and other forensic tests will be performed by the forensic lab of the Illinois State Police. Jensen was charged Tuesday in Iroquois County Circuit Court with two counts of first-degree murder and appeared that afternoon before Judge James Kinzer. Kinzer set Jensen's bond at $1 million, meaning that he must pay $100,000 to be released from jail. Jensen is due back in court at 1:30 p.m. Thursday. According to Mrs. Bunn's obituary, she enjoyed reading, fishing, and school, amongst other things, and was a member of the Goodland Community Church in Goodland, Indiana. Visitation for Miss Bunn will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Monday, August 12th, at the Gertz Funeral Home in Goodland, Indiana, followed by a memorial service at 11 a.m. at the funeral home. Emma Elsie, Motorcycles and Miracles. Emma Elsie may be only about half the size of her peers at Clara Peterson Elementary School, but her courage measures off the charts. Diagnosed shortly after birth with Noonan syndrome, a genetic disorder that prevents normal development in various parts of the body, the 7-year-old girl from Paxton has endured numerous surgeries and hospitalizations and is sometimes teased by her fellow students and feels disappointed every time she goes to an amusement park and is unable to go on rides meant for kids her own age. Even so, the spunky little girl has maintained her bubbly personality, and medically, she has defied all odds as she prepares to enter the second grade as a true medical miracle. The doctors never thought she would eat. They never thought she would walk. They never thought she would talk, her father, Nick Ensley, Elsie said. They basically thought she would be a little in stature and not really able to do much of anything. She's proven them wrong every single time, though. While Emma may still be small compared to her peers, she can now do practically anything a typical kid her age does, added her mother, Jill Elsie. Although she may fatigue faster than her peers, it is in no way a hindrance. Her desire to master physical tasks, Jill Elsie said. She continues to push herself physically through skateboarding, wall climbing, soccer, gymnastics, swimming, basketball, roller skating, bicycling, and possibly wrestling in the fall. She is an avid reader, enjoys singing, and her laugh will fill your soul with joy. Things are indeed finally looking up for Emma, who couldn't be happier after receiving one of the coolest birthday gifts any youngster could get. For Emma's 7th birthday on July 28, a fellow member of the Elsie's Church, the Christian Life Church in Rantoul, organized a motorcycle rally, allowing Emma a chance to ride through Paxton with her grandfather and mother on a 3-wheeled motorcycle. Organizer Mike Adwell said he initially expected perhaps only 4 or 5 fellow members of the American Legion Riders post number 568 in Gibson City to participate, but to his surprise, some 45 motorcycles turned out to celebrate Emma's milestone. There were a lot of people there riding with us who had no clue who the Elsies were or where they were from, Adwell said. We've done some great things as the Legion Riders, but this was really over the hill. Emma loved the experience, sharing hugs and high fives with the bikers, some of whom also brought her gifts. The motorcycle ride ended in Paxton Swimming Pool, where a party was held. It was amazing, Nick Elsie said. It brought tears to my eyes. Buckley awarded $180,000 loan for water towers restoration. The Buckley Village Board learned Monday night that the town has been awarded $180,000 as a loan from the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency for the restoration of the 50,000-gallon elevated tank on the village water tower. The amount of the loan is $20,000 more than the $160,000 the village originally had planned to obtain, but the amount the village will be required to pay back remains unchanged at $72,000, as the loan comes with a $108,000 debt forgiveness. The village will pay 1.5% in interest over the loan's 20-year term. After voting unanimously to accept the loan, the board authorized Village Board President Shiri Stetchura to sign the IEPA's Notice of Award document, plus a Notice to Proceed document, and an agreement with the Georgia-based Utility Service Company, Incorporated, the firm hired last month to complete the work. Village engineer Larry Johnson of the Champaign-based Fur Graham Engineering Firm said Utility Service Company has 60 days to complete the work. The company will need to drain the water tower, at which time a smaller receptacle will be brought on the site to supply water to the residents as the work is completed, Johnson said. A notice about the project will be sent to residents who will be asked to conserve their water usage as the project gets underway. The water tower's tank will be refurbished through power washing and recoating its interior and exterior, repairing its vents, ladders, and overflow box, replacing its cathodic protection system, and making safety upgrades. According to the IEPA, an inspection of the tank identified the presence of a lead primer coating that is flaking off the tank and into the nearby village park. Recoating the tank is expected to eliminate the potential lead-related health hazards and protect the safety of the village drinking water. And now we will look at the obituaries. Margaret Arlene Greenberg, 80, of rural Ambia, Indiana, mother of a Rankin resident, died at 10:11 p.m. Thursday, August 1, 2019, at St. Vincent Seton Hospital in Indianapolis, Indiana. Visitation was from 10 a.m. to noon Wednesday, August 7, at the Ambia United Methodist Church. A funeral service followed at noon at the church with the Reverend Noel Whitman and the Reverend Don Williams officiating. Burial followed the service at the Floral Hill Cemetery in Hoopston. Cheryl Genesee Sin, 78, of Hoopston, sister-in-law of a Paxton resident, died at 8:54 a.m. Sunday, August 4, 2019, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to noon Thursday, August 8, at the Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street in Hoopston. A funeral service will follow at noon at the funeral home. Burial will follow the service at the Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Ryland Snow, 77, of St. Joe, formerly of Gilman and Hersher, died Sunday, August 4, 2019, at his residence in St. Joseph. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Saturday, August 10, at the Knapp Redenius Funeral Home in Gilman. A funeral service will follow the visitation at 11 a.m. with Rod Snow officiating. Burial will follow the service at Ridgeland Township Cemetery in Thawville. Military graveside services will be accorded by the Gilman American Legion Post number 499. Lucy A. Schultz, 66, of Saybrook, died Friday, August 2, 2019, at Gibson Area Hospital in Gibson City, surrounded by her loving family. A private funeral mass will be celebrated at the Immaculate Conception Church in Roberts. Minnie Joan Twist, 86, of Gibson City, died Saturday, August 3, 2019, at the Heritage Health Nursing Home in Gibson City with her family by her side. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Friday, August 9th at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City. Burial will follow in Drummer Township Cemetery in Gibson City. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, August 8th at the funeral home. James H. Jim Brooker, 90, of Gibson City, died at 11:48 p.m. Thursday, August 1, 2019, at his home. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Wednesday, August 7, at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City, with the Reverend Jim Davis officiating. Burial will follow at the Mount Hope Cemetery in Sibley. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, August 6, at the funeral home. David Allen Schoenfeld, 61, of rural Paxton, died Sunday, August 4, 2019, at his home. There will be no services held. Byer Family Funeral Services in Paxton is assisting the family with arrangements. Robert W. Bob Odell, Sr., 79, of Gibson City, died at 5:57 p.m. Saturday, August 3, 2019, at Heritage Manor in Gibson City. A private family graveside service for the U.S. Navy veteran will be held in Maplewood Cemetery, Rantoul. Arrangements are being handled by the Byer Family Funeral Services in Paxton. Donald G. Nettleham, 66, of Nashville, Tennessee, formerly of Cullum, a 1971 graduate of Tri Point High School, died at 11:39 a.m. Monday, July 29, 2019, at his residence. A graveside service will be held at 3 p.m. Saturday, August 3, at Sullivan Center Cemetery in rural Cullum, with the Reverend Deb Honegger officiating. According to the family's wishes, cremation rites were accorded. Calvert and Martin Funeral Home in Cullum handled the arrangements for the family. Patricia Ann Kaiser, 87, died at 11:14 p.m. Wednesday, July 31, 2019, in Accolade Healthcare of Paxton on Pells. Funeral services were held at 11 a.m. Saturday, August 3, at Byer Family Funeral Services, 406 East Pell Street, Paxton, with the Reverend Terry Cooper officiating. Burial was held at the Glen Cemetery in Paxton. Visitation was from 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, August 2nd, at the funeral home. And for other news, Sibley trustees warned of deterioration of historic documents. A representative of the Sibley Business and Historical Association warned Village Board members Monday that some valuable historic documents being stored in the village-owned land office building have been damaged as the result of a leaky roof and their unprotected storage status. Derek Babs said his group would like to have the documents stored elsewhere, but they need the Village Board's permission since the village owns the documents. Babs said the materials, which include historic volumes and photos, represent valuable information that will never be available again. Among the materials are ledgers dating back to the 1800s, which show who lived and farmed on each of the Hiram Sibley's many farms. And Bab said that Hiram Sibley House Museum in Rochester, New York, does not have any of the information obtained in the ledgers. Also, old photographs and school blueprints, Bab said. His group has scanned some of the photographs and laminated the school blueprints using its own funds, but some photographs have molded to the point they cannot be scannable. Bab said the Sibley Business and Historical Association's goals include rebinding the documents. The group wishes to have the documents' ownership transferred to the association once that it's done. Bab said the group also hopes to publish a book that reproduces some of the pages and the photographs. Village Board President Jim Kearney said the land office building is currently being rented, but only on a month-to-month basis, so its status may soon change. Kearney said the village goal is to turn the land office building into a town museum. And trustees were reluctant to okay all of the Sibley Business and Historical Association's plans, but they give some agreement and full appreciation for the group's effort to secure the documents in sealed tubs at another location until the final disposition and the ownership is determined at a future board meeting. John Deere dealership in Gibson City to close. Ford County will soon be left with only one John Deere dealership, Aaron's and Sons, located at 1715 South Sangamon Avenue in Gibson City, will close August 26 after being purchased by AHW LLC, a Dwight-based John Deere dealership with 16 locations in Illinois and Indiana. It is true that store in Gibson City will be closed, but the employees have all been offered jobs, and I believe they've all accepted, said Mike Miller, corporate sales manager for AHW. One or two will be going to Melvin. There's a group of them that will be going to our store in Urbana, and two of them will be going to Monticello and one going to Clinton. Miller said all of the Aaron's and Sons inventory will be dispersed to other AHW locations. Miller said the company will decide later what to do with the property in Gibson City. "We've got a little work to do," Miller said. "It will take us some time to get the inventory packed up and transported to the other stores. That will take a while, and then we'll determine what will happen with the property and the buildings." Aaron's and Son has been operating in Gibson City since 1947. It was originally owned by Walter Aaron's, and it is now owned by his sons, Steve and Bill. Walter Aaron's father founded Aaron's Brothers John Deere in Melvin, which merged with Hogan Walker in 2012 to form AHW. Churches help select 15 hymns to be sung at the annual Hymn Festival in Gibson City. There are some new twists to the Gibson Area Music Foundation's annual Hymn Festival, which will be on Sunday, August 11th at 3 p.m. in the sanctuary of the United Methodist Church of Gibson City. For the first time, area churches were polled to provide favorite hymns to be sung. Seven churches responded with suggestions, making this year's theme Celebrating Church Favorites. Lyrics will be displayed on a large screen as well as being available in hymnals. 15 hymns will be used, and they will be divided into two groups, hymns of praise and worship and hymns of encouragement. Two accomplished musicians, Kelly Beyer of Gibson City and Beverly Hilmer of Fisher, will provide piano accompaniment, including a duet of He Lives as the prelude. The church is located at 206 East Church Street at the corner of Church and 10th Streets. There is an elevator access to the sanctuary from the street level north entrance. Other entrances are available on the west and south sides. Ample free parking is available in lots on the north and east of the church, as well as free on-street parking. There is no admission charge for the event, but a free will offering will be taken to support events and scholarships funded by the Nonprofit Music Foundation. Donations may also be made directly to the Gibson Area Music Foundation, P.O. Box 292, Gibson City, Illinois, 60936. This has been the Ford County Record by Jean St. Peter for the week of August 7th, 2019. I look forward to reading with you again soon.